Shortly here, and H minus 10 seconds. The countdown will come directly from the timing and firing trailer.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Quantel, opt in, go tape.
This is Publius bringing you a step farther out. Your weekly radio message from the Man and Atom Society. Well, I'm home from the Westercon. And I have to say that it went off reasonably well, despite the fact that I was one of the people helping to run it. Didn't get as much feedback as I had hoped about the art displays, the 12 art photograph prints from Interatom in Germany, and then the 6 Kelly Fries posters. I had the con chair put out a thing on Twitter saying if you took photographs, email them to me, and I haven't got anything yet, which is a surprise. Also, I didn't give away as many handouts as I had hoped. Part of that was just that I suppose not as many people went up to that corridor leading to the handicap accessible restrooms as had been expected, and there wasn't really a sign saying this way for the art display, which was a failing. That was a failing. But, of course, you can't think of everything. And this has been a case of not thinking of everything. Also, you know, only about 3/5 of the people who paid for attending memberships actually showed up. So there's only about 180 people there. And it seems like some of them didn't really ever come into the main hall of the convention center, despite that being where most of the action was. Now, I'm going to try and get the recordings, not only of my live reading of Moon Prospector by Bill Ellern, but also of the panel discussion I was on with respect to fusion and nuclear physics, because we wound up answering some questions talking about fission energy as well, since it's already here. People wanted to get some sense of the differences, for example, between fission and fusion. And somebody asked the question about, well, does fusion produce less waste? You know, to which, of course, I had to do my thing where I point out that the waste from nuclear fission is already a million times less by mass and a billion times less by volume, that's round numbers, obviously, than the wastes from conventional energy. And I got rather excited about that and began to be very loud and sort of emotionally overwrought. It's the damnedest thing, I tell you. I've spent 35 years, more or less, being told you've got to have more inflection, you've got to be more emotive, or people aren't going to pay any attention to you when you speak. You sound like an automaton, you freak. And then I had two people over the course of the weekend tell me that I was losing my audience because I was overexcited. I don't think you can win in life, I really don't. I'm sure I have some other useful things to say. I did see in the Wall Street Journal that the French government is talking about nationalizing Electricité de France. Or rather, renationalizing it, since it was a national enterprise and then got privatized. And their reason, of course, basically is the suddenly people have reawakened to the fact that energy is a very basic thing, then you can't necessarily count on capitalistic mechanisms to keep it flowing. Dag nabbit. But this is very unexpected from Macron, who only a couple of weeks ago was inciting riots by proposing that SNCF, the National Railways, should be privatized. There's a very strong feeling in France, much stronger than in the United States, that, or Britain for that matter, that given how much greater productivity is, has become in the past 100 years, that maybe, just maybe, lowering the retirement age instead of raising it, shortening the work week instead of lengthening it, maybe those are the things that make more sense. And that if there are underfunded pension liabilities, for example, making people work more hours, making people work more years, and privatizing things to muddy the waters is not the solution. Maybe confiscatory taxation of the super rich is the solution, considering that their fortunes have really ballooned since Macron has been in office. So, how that's going to turn out, I don't know. The problem with government-owned utilities, of course, is that they tend to not be insulated from politics as much as commercial ones, but then there is still a great deal of political interference even in allegedly privatized or investor-owned utilities. And there's a great deal, of course, of private and commercial activity goes on with the publicly owned, state-owned utilities. So I don't know what can be said about that exactly. What I will say is that Électricité de France is required to sell large blocks of the electricity they generate from nuclear and hydro to so-called alternative power providers at prices considerably less than the open market clearing price. So EDF essentially is required to compete with itself because the alternative power providers can't actually provide power. This seems a bit counterintuitive. I suppose to some extent it's a measure of protectionism, making sure that the open market price, which is set by the demand from, for example, Germany, where they've decided to give up on producing their own electricity, you know, that the making sure that the stupid energy policies in some of the neighboring countries are somewhat cushioned, because the open market price is set to a great extent based on the demand from neighboring countries. So by requiring EDF to sell part of its production to these alternative power providers at below market price, that essentially insulates the French people and French industry from the worst of the fluctuations caused by those idiots next door. But, so in that sense, it's probably at least partly a way to get around the EU rules which have required such an idiotic thing as an electricity market in the first place. Again, the French were pretty happy without it. It was an idea the Germans were pushing very hard. When are people going to learn that Germany only produces bad political ideas? I mean, how long of a track record do you have to recognize Germany is where bad ideas come from? So yes, that's your obligatory periodic rant against Germany and German stupidity. Idiocy, even. I have to say it every so often, otherwise, you know, probably steam would start coming out of my ears. But beyond that, one thing that I started doing just before the convention, and I was doing it during the convention, and I'm still doing it, And it's going to take a while to come into any kind of final form, but I'm making up something I call the Man and Atom Briefing Book, which is a sort of thing you can lay on a table and contains pretty colored pictures of nuclear power stations and descriptions of how they work. Those I've mostly got nailed down. And then more context and answers to frequently asked questions. Things like I've got a good source for a pie chart showing radiation exposures by source, but I should probably look at the latest UNSCEAR reports to get modern numbers, since the numbers in the chart I have are from Britain in the 80s, which means that probably the average numbers for medical radiation exposures are different now. But that kind of thing, showing, top 10 economies in the world by per capita GDP or by total GDP, which ones use nuclear energy, maybe a color-coded map showing countries which have nuclear power, countries which have research reactors but not nuclear power, countries where nuclear power is prohibited, countries which had nuclear power in the past and have given it up. Anyway, a bunch of these things, trying to contextualize, not just to provide facts, but also to provide context. But, so that's something I'm working on. I do also need to get those stickers printed. The ones that say, "No blood for oil, atoms for peace." And I may also try doing some posters on that theme. Of course, all this is going to run into money. Particularly stickers and badges. Those run into money. Now, to get the professionally printed ones is one thing. That's cheaper when I'm buying in quantity. To home make them, I was talking to a guy at the convention who was showing, he had a bunch of buttons, and he was telling me about the button making apparatus that he bought. And he said it was a real good deal. And I looked it up, and it is apparently a real good deal, but it's still $150. So if anybody wants to spot me $150 for a button making machine, that would be wonderful. There is one at the Dallas Makerspace. I think they've got a badge a minute machine. Now, the one that the guy recommended to me is from someplace called U.S. Badges, or U.S. Buttons, something like that. I've got it written down. That's what's important. Anyway, the thing is, he says that it's much easier to use than the Badge a Minute machine and does not goof up so many times. He says, typical Badge a Minute machine, you ruin about 1 in 5, whereas the one he has, he doesn't ruin more than 1 in 20, which is a good idea, again, for things that I'm producing in small volumes. Large volumes, I'm still going to farm out. The people I've been using for years now, they run a company called Pure Buttons and another one called Standout Stickers, which I think are in the same building in Ohio. But the important part is, they've got decent pricing. Of course, they're the ones who did the metallic finish buttons. Basically, instead of using paper, they use a clear film so the metal shows up from underneath, which gives a really nice effect. I really wish they would start doing metallic finish stickers, though, because I tried one of the things they do, which is glitter finish, and it just did not work out well at all. Anyway, I'm getting a little off track, but I'm telling you the sort of things that I've been trying to do. Now, I've contacted the Worldcon. Worldcon this year is in Chicago. I filled out their programming participant form. I filled out their questionnaire. There are some panels on space, although most of the, they have this very awkward-to-use interface for the programming questionnaire, but I did indicate that I would be interested in some of the panels that they have, and I have sent an email to their fan tables people saying, basically, I don't see anything about a nuclear energy exhibit, despite the fact you have Argonne National Laboratory there in town. Despite the fact that December of last year was the 70th anniversary of the generation of electricity from nuclear reaction, December of this year will be the 80th anniversary of Chicago Pile 1, the very first chain reaction produced by human beings, right? I don't read anything about a display or exhibit from Argonne. I don't read anything about a tour of Argonne or of any nuclear power plant, so I'm willing to provide that. essentially was the way I phrased it, basically saying this is something you should have, and since I don't see anything about it, I'm willing to provide that. Anyway, so that is a that is a picture. It's sort of a snapshot of my current activities. As I say, got to see about this whole business. You know, as I say, stickers. I've got the Atomic Power to the People stickers. I think most of them are actually I left behind in Germany last year. I went to Germany after the Worldcon that was in D.C. I think I left most of what I had there, because the company that I hire to make them is here in the U.S., so I figured, well, I'll get more when I get back to the U.S., and of course it went clean out of my mind. I think I had enough at the WesterCon, just because, as I say, there weren't all that many people there, but I am going to need more. I also have the Can-Do badges, what are they, 1-inch badges, maybe? Anyway, and some of them are on cards, exhorting people to contact their member of the provincial parliament. This is for people in Ontario, to urge for more nuclear energy. And this is important for the Worldcon in Chicago because I expect a decent number of Canadians specifically from Ontario. Now, Winnipeg is bidding for the NASFIC, which will have to be held next year because the Worldcon is in China. And so there may also be people from Western Canada there representing the people who want to put on the NASFIC in Winnipeg. But I expect a decent number of people from Ontario, now that the border's open again. Not like we got a few years ago when the NASFIC was in Detroit at the Renaissance Center, because you can take the city bus from Windsor into Detroit and vice versa, and you can take a very convenient train from downtown Toronto to Windsor. Anyhow. So yeah, there is my... Yeah, and I've got those pamphlets that I was making up advocating for the use of heat from nuclear power reactors for the city of Toronto. In other words, don't let them shut down the remaining 6 reactors at Pickering, at least until replacement power is provided, and run a large hot water pipeline from Pickering to provide thousands of megawatts of heat for buildings in central Toronto, because it's a very, very urbanized area, and it's extremely good business to take heat that you had to pay for anyway, right? The thing is, the heat that is discharged from power plants into the environment doesn't do much harm, but it also doesn't do much good either, and it's energy that you had to pay for, right? So the more work you can get out of it, the better. And so instead of dumping the heat into the water of the Great Lakes, instead we dump it at a slightly higher temperature into the building heating systems of all the high-rises in central Toronto. And this is entirely feasible. Hot water pipelines are now well established. Hot water pipelines from nuclear power stations are well established to feed into central heating systems in large campuses, feed into central heating systems just in large buildings, shopping malls, the Eaton Center in Toronto, for example, the big government building complex, all those kinds of things. They currently have their own central heating systems. Well, instead of burning gas or oil, those can be fed from the nuclear power reactor. You know, this was done in Greifswald in East Germany in the early 80s. So, yeah, so I definitely want to promote this idea very strongly to Ontarianians, and I suspect that quite a number of them will show up in Chicago. And if they do, I want to be prepared for that. But as I say, I have quite a few of these little buttons. They're like 1-inch buttons that say, "Can Do" on them. Can Do being the name of the Canadian power reactor technology. And then place that printed them, they put them on a card, some of them that I have. They sent me, I think they made more than they were supposed to, because they sent me the number I ordered on cards, and then a whole big bag of additional ones, because I think they just made more than they expected. Anyway, subsequent orders that were on cards, they've not done that, so it's not like some weird perk. I think it was just an error. But it was an error in my favor, and I don't complain about those too loudly most of the time. But yeah, the card basically says, Ontario needs energy, and this is a great place for that energy to come from. So talk to your member of the provincial parliament. But I did give away at the Westercon in Tonopah. Of course, a lot of the people who came were from California. And I did give away some of my Save Diablo Canyon badges, which are also on cards which have a similar message, basically saying that California, which has like 10% of the population of the United States, needs a lot of energy, and that the way California is currently getting it is not good. I may do a revised version of those cards pointing out that Diablo Canyon is equipped with a seawater desalting plant, and that in a state which has droughts, like, a lot, that seawater, at least supplying desalted seawater to San Luis Obispo City, would be a really good idea. It comments in Calm about the fact that a lot of sea life does actually like the warm water discharged from nuclear power stations, ranging from the fish and seals around the Swedish and Finnish nuclear power plants to the manatees in Florida, who apparently like to congregate around there. And of course, when San Onofre was running in California, the fishermen always had to be warned off because there was plentiful fish, and I was talking to someone who said, oh yeah, we used to surf out there, and the warm water was nice. Because, of course, San Onofre is one of the best places on the California coast for surfing. In fact, the book that Southern California Gas and Electric put out... No, Southern California Edison, that was it. Southern California Edison, which was the majority owner of the San Onofre nuclear power plant, the other owner being San Diego Gas and Electric. Pardon me for the confusion. Anyway, the book they put out actually starts with Duke Kahanamoku, the Hawaiian who was the great promoter of surfing in the mainland U.S., back in the 1920s even. But... let's see, and just for... let's see, just for correctness. Let's see. I'll mention, since the question came up in Calm, yes, there is quite a bit of nuclear power in Florida, actually. Turkey Point. Turkey Point 3 and 4. I know that sounds weird. 1 and 2 are actually combustion units. 3 and 4 are the nuclear units. If I remember correctly, Hurricane Andrew, that was a thing back in the 90s, hit almost directly on Turkey Point, but the station ran right through the storm. The Gold Coast Railway Museum is right near that power plant. And... it's actually on the site of the old Navy airship hangars, which were collapsed by a hurricane in 1944. The commander of the airbase had moved all the aircraft into the blimp hangars because they could fit in there, because a storm was coming up. And unfortunately, one of the hangars collapsed and then caught fire because they were made of wood, and then all three burned. It was the single largest day's loss of aircraft by the U.S. Navy in the Second World War, and it was all non-combat losses. Anyway, but the Gold Coast Railway Museum is there, and of course everybody was piling into the Ferdinand Magellan, which was Franklin D. Roosevelt's private railway car, back when the president traveled by private railway car, and is heavily armored, so it weighs about 100 tons, and there's absolutely no way that it could be tipped over or even badly damaged because of all the armored plate and the armored glass and so forth. You know, it could be hit by debris at the full force of hurricane winds, and it would still be fine. Annoyingly, the IAEA PRIS, Power Reactor Information System, which is my usual go-to for nuclear energy information, is not very good with place names. But another nuclear power plant in Florida is Saint Lucie. That's two 950 megawatt units thereabouts. Turkey Point has two 800 megawatt units. Let's see. There's nuclear power in places you don't expect. Arkansas, for example. I remember going on vacation to Arkansas, to the Ozarks one time, and seeing Arkansas Nuclear One up on Lake Dardanelle. Anyway, and it was overcast, and the cooling tower was in full operation, so there was the steam plume rising up, and it really looked as though, you know, the cloud factory is in full operation. I will comment, you know, I spent a lot of the show last time, talking negatively, and I try to avoid talking negatively. I want to talk positively, right? I spent most of the time talking about obstacles or even enemies, trying to say, you know, a habit of thought perhaps is an enemy. People aren't really our enemies. I mean, again, I keep thinking about Afghanistan, where the people are suffering horribly. There's no doubt about that. But a lot of people seem to think it's the responsibility of Western governments to give assistance to the people in Afghanistan, despite the fact that they chose to be governed by the Taliban, who want to destroy everything that the West has and stands for. I mean, nobody's obliged to hold a gun to his own head, much less pull the trigger. And I keep saying, why is it that the Afghans just sort of rolled over and let the Taliban take over? And I think part of that is indeed the attitude, that even the people who don't like the Taliban, don't want the Taliban, understood that their lives would become miserable, much more miserable than they already had been, as soon as the Taliban took over. Even those people still agree with them on the very fundamental idea, the very fundamental level, as above, so below. Right? But I don't want to talk about that too much. It's depressing and it's unhelpful. What do I want to talk about? I want to talk about, let's talk about the good that we can achieve and how to achieve it. And I guess I'd start by identifying, right, Franklin Roosevelt's four freedoms, right? Freedom of speech and religion, freedom from want and fear, right? Nuclear energy, at the very least, can take away, right, can take away the fear of famine, right? Can it take away the fear of war? Well, no, it can't. But the less likely people are to experience famine, the less likely they are to start wars. So that helps. You know, freedom of speech and religion, freedom from want and fear. And I know that I've made the case in the past that in a high-energy society, people have more freedom of speech, more freedom of expression, more freedom of thought, that low-energy societies, contrary to Robert Jungk, who, you know, wrote a book entitled How Nuclear Power Enslaves You, that in truth it's the low-energy societies that have the least freedom of thought and action. That, yes, there's a great deal to be desired, right? There's a great deal left to be achieved in our modern society, that, you know, industrial capitalism isn't perfect. Ha! Not by any stretch of the imagination. But even so, even in this crashingly imperfect industrial capitalistic society, there's still a great deal more freedom to think and act than in agrarian aristocratic societies of the past. And so I really want you to think of what can we achieve, right? Peace and freedom on Earth, and ultimately the freedom of the stars. I have been known to say there is no freedom without the freedom of the stars. How do you like that for a quote? Anyway, I will remind you, you've been listening to A Step Farther Out, which is provided to you by a non-radio service of the SDF Public Access Unix System, sdf.org. Great group of people, great services there. Check them out. Support them if you can. If you'd like to support these broadcasts directly, you can always send me some money. PayPal.me/Prometheus Lives, for example. But please send your comments, send your cards and letters to Post Office Box 1035, Fort Worth, Texas, United States, 76101, United States of America.